Let's get into the Barberi Masjid.
If Congress was really truthful, Barberi Masjid would have been demolished.
Keswar Mahadev ka mandir nahi aaya.
Can you say what the Indian government is doing in Kashmir is, right? I said, over my dead body.
Calling for all Hindus to pretty much take over Mecca. Tweets, he says, some historical accounts place the number of Hindus.
The only truth he has spoken is, I have lost the source.
Scared for the country and for the Muslims. And country also.
This guy right here.
This guy's trying to build a Dawah center in our country. I'm not talking to you right now. You're a sellout. You're trying to build a Dawah center here. Islam is violent by nature.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. This is exactly why we need the Deen Center, because we have over 300 million Americans who know nothing about Islam, like this guy.
You want to have a talk?
Yeah, this guy's trying to build a Dawah center in our country. And Surah 9 is the most violent chapter of the Quran.
The Deen Center will be a source of light, a mega dawah center, an educational center, helping our brothers and sisters in humanity truly understand Islam and Muslims. And brothers and sisters, remember the great rewards of just guiding one person in humanity to the truth is better than everything in this dunya. So get in on all the rewards and blessings. Click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How are you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Adi. How are you?
Good,
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing fine.
This is the Deen Show.
Girl, I love you very much, mashallah, all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Student of former Sheikh Ahmed Izzam.
May Allah bless him in his grave.
Ameen. President of the IREF.
Alhamdulillah.
We're going to be talking about a number of people renouncing Indian citizenship in India. And the many things that are happening. India transforming into a breeding ground for fake news under this ruling party. But I wanted to get, and we're going to be talking about the Barberi Masjid. Some history there and what's currently happening. I wanted to open it up actually with this video here and get your reaction to it, because it leads into everything that we're talking about. How's that?
Sure.
Because this here is a call from one of the top priests. His name is Yeti, who's actually calling Hindus, get this, to take over Mecca.
इस्लाम के खिलाफ, इस्लाम के जिहाद के खिलाफ, पूरी धरती को एकजुट करने का, पूरी धरती को लामबंद करने का हिंदू राष्ट्र बहुत बड़ा स्वप्न है, वीर सावरकर का स्वप्न है, शिवाजी का स्वप्न है, लेकिन जो सपना हम सबकी आंखों में होना चाहिए, केवल अफगानिस्तान तक नहीं, हमें मक्का के उस मंदिर को भी लेना होगा जहां महादेव की गंगा जमजम के रूप में बहती है। अगर आपके पूजा स्थलों में मक्केश्वर महादेव का मंदिर नहीं आया, अगर आपने मक्केश्वर महादेव को नहीं जीता, तो धरती की कोई भी ताकत इस्लाम को कमजोर नहीं कर सकती। आपको कैंसर परवार वहां जाकर करना पड़ेगा जहां से सारा कैंसर फैलता है।
This is a top Hindu priest called Yeti. You heard of him?
Yeah.
And you can tell us who he is. He's calling for all Hindus to pretty much take over Mecca. He says, Today, time to unite the world against Islam and jihad of Islam. Hindu nation is a big dream. Dream of Veer Savarkar. Yes, and this is also a dream of Shivaji
Maharaj.
Yes. Also, he's saying all of us should have this dream. Take over Mecca, not Afghanistan, but to invade Mecca. He says the river of Mahadev, the river of Mahadev flows in the form of Zamzam, he's saying. Yeah. And if we don't get, how do you pronounce this, Makkah Shawar?
The city of Mecca.
Mecca. How do you pronounce that in
Shahar.
If we don't win Mecca Mahadev.
The Mahadev is that kind of an attributive name they give to Shiva one of the prime deities that they worship.
Then no power, if we don't do this, basically saying if we don't take over Mecca, no power on earth can weaken Islam. You will have to attack Mecca from where the cancer spreads. Now, who is this guy?
Now, basically, this guy is a radical Hindu back in India, and he proudly claims that he has his roots embedded in RSS kind of an ideology back in India. RSS, as you know, is a very popular organization in India that was established in September 1925 by Hed Guevara. And after its establishment, they have been very strongly and openly promoting the ideology of a fascist Hindutva movement. Their inspiration was directly, I mean, it's not hidden, it's very open. Their inspiration was Mussolini of Italy, the
Mussolini?
Yeah, the dictator of Italy at the time. And then their second hero is Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And surprisingly, a lot of people in the Western countries know this very well. But then the way RSS has done their job in India, we shall really appreciate that part of the groundwork and the way they have changed the minds of millions and millions of Indians. So according to the latest reports, they have about 5 to 6 million members with them. And they have more than 50,000 registered organizations that work for them.
How popular is he? Is he, is he pretty much a household?
No, he's not very popular. He was booked in a lot of cases. He's popular in the sense because of his...
I mean, how well, well known is he?
He's well known because of these kinds of speeches. And he's promoted there. He was arrested also. He was imprisoned for some cases. But then he immediately was released on bail. So that gives an impression that, you see, I can speak anything and I can come out.
Is this just a fringe element or there's more people like this that think
see,
like this?
As a speaker, as a speaker, he is a fringe element. But he's speaking about the psychology of a very large number today. As I told you, 5 to 6 million people are the members of RSS, which works with the same ideology. The only difference between this fellow and the mainstream speakers of RSS would be just like they are not openly speaking what this fellow is saying, but end of the day, that is what they too believe.
Are these the people that are after Zakir Naik?
Scared for the country and for the Muslims. And country also. Country is going to the dogs. Of course, the chances of me coming back are much better. I don't want to come back at all in BJP. What does Modi know about Hindu scriptures? Let us have a dialogue, me and Modi.
Modi sent his emissary to meet me in Malaysia. He sent an emissary to meet me in Malaysia. Dr. Zakir Naik, can we remove the misunderstanding? I said, what misunderstanding? Your police, NI, knows everything about me. There's no misunderstanding. No, can we be friends? I said, no problem. As long as you don't tell me to do anything against Quran and Sunnah, I don't want your money. You know what they wanted me to do? They wanted me to support the government that what they're doing in Kashmir is correct. I said, nonsense. They gave me safe passage. We will get you back to India. We will delete all your cases. I said, what do you want? Nothing you want. Then they're going and telling me, can you say what the Indian government is doing is Kashmir is, right? I said, over my dead body.
You can say, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
These are the people that he, because he had to, Zakir Naik had to leave India. Was it because of this political party?
Yes. I mean, that is what is obvious there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So tell me then, this Yeti, is he speaking for, because he's the voice for this 5-6 million people, this RSS, do they believe this also?
No, that not all of them.
That you should invade Mecca?
I mean, that is their ideology. Because according to a lot of Hindus back in India, they feel that Kaabatullah, the holy shrine that the Muslims go in Haram, that house of Allah.
The first house of built, worship built by Abraham.
Exactly, by Ibrahim alayhi salam, that was built as mentioned in Surah Al Imran.
Yeah.
Allah said that at number 196 that it was the first house to be built for worship. So now their feeling is it was something when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam he conquered Makkah, there were idols instilled inside Makkah.
Yes.
So they say actually those idols, the prime idol there was Alinga. Alinga is a Sanskrit word which means the male private part. So a lot of Hindus back in India, they worship the private part called Linga of a deity called Shiva.
Wow.
And they call Shiva as the destructor. So
they believe this deity was in one of the...
No, his linga was there.
What's his linga?
Linga is the Sanskrit word for the male private part.
Oh, of this deity.
Of this deity.
Was in the Kaaba.
In the Kaaba.
This is so, actually in their sort. We go. You can verify this. This is not something that we're just making up.
No. I mean, you just go on the Google and search and say the belief of Hindus about linga in Makkah.
And
but this is not all the Hindus don't believe that, definitely. Yeah. But then those radical kind of people are trying to poison the minds of the common Hindus also.
Yeah.
Saying that this was there and this was demolished.
Let's give people who are unfamiliar with this. So you just explained that the first house of worship built by Abraham to commemorate the worship of one God. So Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as the last and final messenger, at that time it was 360 idols. He got rid of them all and called humanity to worship only one God. The same God of Jesus and Moses.
Absolutely.
The absolute monotheism.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
So now what they want to do is go back and get this deity's private part that used to be in the...
Yes, this, I mean, this is that is what...
That was one of the gods in the Kaaba.
Yeah, that was the prime that they said the God was there.
Yeah.
So, wow. You see, Abrahamic faiths are very clear. I mean, whether it is Jews, the Christians and the Muslims, with whatever political differences or other differences we may have. But these three religions... They are very clear that Prophet Abraham, Prophet Moses, Prophet Jesus, their actual mission was very clear. Worshipping only one God without an image form, without an idol form. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with the same mission to correct those things that were corrupted by the people after receiving the message from Abraham, Moses and Jesus.
Yeah. So he's trying to unite the world now. Is this why you're seeing, for example, this reminded me of, this is the Haaretz, okay? So this is an Israeli newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
You see what's currently happening there in Gaza, right? You see the current genocide that's happening. But you see a lot of Hindus who are supporting this.
Yes.
So this is actually in the Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, that's saying Hitler's Hindus, this is a mainstream newspaper, the rise and rise of India's Nazi-loving nationalists. And then you have here in this person, in Modi's Gujarat, Hitler is a textbook hero?
Yes.
Can you elaborate on this? What is this here?
Basically, as I told you, that RSS was formed being inspired. I mean, Savarkar, Hedgewar, Golwalkar, these were the three main personalities for this ideology of fascist Hindutva, that they believed that a political force is required, a militia force is required, and according to them, Christians and Muslims, unless they don't give up their fundamental religious beliefs and compromise, and even if they want to practice their fundamental religious beliefs, then still they should compromise on the Indian culture and tradition, which may be religious for many of them. So if they don't do that, then they have no... they should not live in India after that.
Yeah.
If they are not compromising on their fundamentals to just worship the culture that existed maybe thousands of years back, according to them, according to the Vedas and all that stuff. So now these people, of course, they have this ideology because they were appraising at one point of time Adolf Hitler and the Nazi movement. And then they also had a great appreciation for Mussolini. So definitely those kinds of things happened. And in Gujarat, it was very popularly known, as I think you showed an article from Times of India, where in the Gujarat textbooks, they were writing in praise for Adolf Hitler once.
Mm-hmm. It's really some strange alliances and friendships are being formed. And one of them we see... that you have the Zionist Christians, for example, who are supporting what's happening in this genocide, right? But when you look at the teachings of, let's say, the monotheism, okay, that Jews say they follow, and you have a lot of Zionists also who now have hijacked Judaism, and the rabbis that I spoke to, if I had on the program, they elaborate on this, but the point I want to focus on is when you see these alliances being formed, let's say with the Christians, and I'll get to the Hindus, that now we as Muslims, we love Jesus. We say peace be upon him. We praise his blessed mother, right?
Absolutely.
And it's actually anti-Islam to be anti-Jesus,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay, you can't be a Muslim
absolutely.
And say I'm anti,
no way.
Right?
No way.
But over here, you have a group that's actually anti-Jesus. And Christians are supporting this group. So that's one example, right?
Exactly.
They're actually the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
But then now you have these Hindutva, these people who are the Hindus, right?
Yeah.
So now if they're supporting also, they're forming this alliance. And if the you'll watch this video here, we can find it, where the Jewish guy is telling the Christian that if the Sanhedrin was to hit, meaning the, how do you translate Sanhedrin, the law, the Jewish law was to come into play, they would actually be executed. The Christians would be executed. What would happen to the Hindus?
Absolutely.
What would happen to the Hindus?
See,
in Islam, you actually have your rights to
absolutely.
Worship and whatnot.
Absolutely.
But what would happen if now this you're supporting this this oppressive state, but if they actually really got to implement these laws, what would happen?
Absolutely, Eddie. You really raised very good points. Basically, you see, John L. Esposito, when he wrote his popular book, The Islamic Threat,
uh-huh.
The Myth or Reality. So in that book, he really describes that Jews lived more happily ever before than ever before when Spain was ruled by the Muslims.
Yes.
And you see, the history, there is one thing that you propagate and there is one thing that history with evidences records. So on record, if you see, Muslims ruled India for about 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But still, we are just 20%.
Yes.
So we never forced anybody to convert. But now the propaganda is Muslims converted people by sword, which Mahatma Gandhi himself never agreed. The great freedom fighters and great Indian Hindu leaders never agreed to that notion. And then even Swami Vivekananda, he is one of the reformist Hindus, and he is very highly revered by a majority of Indian Hindus today.
Yes.
And he was a very learned man.
Uh-huh.
And he also said, this is something very wrong to blame that Islam was spread by sword in India. Absolutely not. That was not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Islam came first time to India, it came during the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The very first masjid is in Gujarat area. And that masjid was built with the direction of prayers towards Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that was built at the time when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi was still living in Makkah. The direction changed, Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayat number 143, when Allah changed, commanded Muhammad sallallahu alaihi to change the direction towards Makkatul Mukarrama, was when he came in Medina. But then you see, masjid is built in India, in Gujarat, with the direction towards the Palestine. Then you have the second masjid built in 629 in the south state of Kerala. So there was no jihad. This is the time when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still alive. And after that, when Muslims came, they ruled. The Mughals ruled India. You had the Ghaznavid dynasty from 771 to about 1126. Then you had the Delhi Sultanate and the Ghauris, who ruled from 1126 to around 1250 something, or the Delhi Sultanate. Then you had the Mughals from 1258 till 1707 when Aurangzeb died, and then they became weak. And then you had Tipu Sultan in the south. You have Siraj-ud-Dawla, Nawab of Bengal, who fought against the British. So Muslims were ruling, but majority of the Indians at that time were non-Muslims, the Hindus. So forcing somebody to convert is against the Quran. Mm-hmm. Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayat number 256, Laik Raha Fiddin, there is no compulsion in religion. Surah Kafirun, Surah number 109, verse number 6, Lakum Deenukum Waliyadeen, the first 5 ayat say, give them a message that...
No force.
No, but you don't force anybody to convert their faith.
That's a myth now that we can clear up. There's no conversion by the sword.
It's not possible at all. You cannot convert anybody by sword. So there is no way.
Against,
it's against the Quran.
That goes against the Quran. Very.
That goes against the Quran.
Clear verse in the Quran that no compulsion in religion.
No compulsion in religion.
We cannot compulse you to believe.
No, absolutely. It's not possible.
And you gave an example. Now, in India, Muslims ruled for what? 1,000
years.
And was there mass
This is what the oppression, propaganda. This is what the propaganda is now. Mm-hmm. This is what they're propagating.
But is that historically accurate?
How can it be possible? We would have been in majority otherwise.
Okay.
If that would have happened, we would have been in majority.
Mm-hmm.
So we are still 20%. Then in Spain, we ruled for about 800 plus years.
Now we
years.
Go back to example. This is it seems like people don't like study history anymore. You have like the Jews running persecution to the Muslim lands.
Yes.
And Christians and Muslims, Christians and Jews living under Muslims rule in Spain for how many? 800 years?
800 years.
And it's relative peace.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
There was no Muslims forcing you like they were convert or die with the Inquisitions and you had
absolutely
to flee.
Absolutely not. Absolutely no. not. See, coming back to the main point that you said, what I assess or my personal assessment is,
yeah.
See, basically, from the Jewish and Christian perspective,
yeah.
that land of Palestine is very important from the religious background. For the Messiah for them to come, the Jews have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
For Jesus' second coming for the Christian belief, the Jews have to be there. And for us Muslims, it's the third holiest place. And we know Miraj of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam happened from Baitul Muqaddas. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to us also. But now the way the things are happening, there are two types of religious people who are following their religions respectively. There is one group that is academically following a religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the other group wants to do it with political force. So anybody who takes a religion with a political violence are definitely going to terrorize other groups in the world.
Mm.
So what we see is this. But if majority of followers of all religions, they want to wait and academically do the things as the scripture may have commanded them. This, now what is happening about the idol worshipping people, which Jews can never accept. Because when you read the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses is commanded to wage wars, the very purpose of the wars is to demolish all places where any other god is worshipped.
Yeah.
It's clear, demolish them.
So they won't be even welcome in Israel.
Absolutely. There is no way. There is no way. With this faith, they will never be.
Why are they supporting it now?
So there is a saying, there is a saying that the enemy of the enemy is my friend.
Exactly, yeah.
So now there are political benefits doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But then one thing, Eddie, we need
We call this hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
This is like major example.
Who cares today?
Yeah.
See, who cares today about...
Finish your point. I want to ask you a question before I forget about... This is an intellectual Zionist, someone Jewish by ethnicity. I don't really believe he practices Judaism, but he's someone on the front lines who's seems like... he's part of the Islamophobic hate provocateur industry. So I want to get your reaction to one of his tweets.
Sure.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that if you analyze what's going on today, mm-hmm. this is all one thing that we need to really understand. See, India has got a big youth power and Indians have truly proved to the world with their academic qualifications.
Yeah.
There is no second thought about it. And the timing of a person like Narendra Modi being the Prime Minister of India, for him he is very lucky because he came at a time when Indian youth were doing tremendously great work outside India. So in other words, the skill of India is not working in India, they're outside India because they do not find enough infrastructure and support back in India.
Mm-hmm.
But now when they are outside India, what's happened is these politicians, the fascist politicians, through the RSS, they did a huge groundwork and they came out in different countries, including the USA. And here they are again polluting the minds of these youth who are Indians, who actually came here through their academic qualifications to earn here. But now because the earnings are very high here, they are polluting their minds to invest with their fascist agenda in India. So this is something that the Muslims living in the USA or Europe shall really think about it, bring this up in the notice of the masses here, and then try to work out that this thing doesn't happen in this place.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is an individual who was just kept popping up in my feed. To this day, he pops up in my feed. I don't follow him, but on the X, and he's gotten some praise from even Elon Musk. So you can see he's had some influence. And the things he's sprouting, I want to get your feedback to this. He says in one of his tweets, he says, some historical accounts place the number of Hindus killed by a series of conquests at 80 million. I lost the reference to the figure. Conveniently, he lost the reference. Does anyone remember who the invaders were? He's referring to, who do you think?
So, I mean, it's very simple, Eddie. I mean, the only truth he has spoken is, I have lost the source.
Yeah, that's the only
that's the only truth
there, that he lost the source, because there's no source.
Absolutely. That's the only truth he has spoken there. And the remaining is fake, because this is how the fake develops.
Yes.
Just pick up something and speak as if you have all the evidence. So the remaining statements, he has spoken in a way that it is so sure that this happened. 80 million population of India, can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Can that be possible logically?
No, it can't.
It can be possible. There is no way.
Explain to the audience, because some people don't get it.
No, I mean, today India has a population of 1.2 billion people.
Uh-huh.
1.2 billion live in India today.
Yes.
How can it be 80 million 1,000 years back?
Mm-hmm.
It's laughable, yeah. Right? So, I mean, see, what's happening is today, a lot of people, as you said earlier, they are not very keenly interested.
What conquests is he talking? There's some conquests. What from the Muslim side?
This is what the RSS and their Hindutva agenda is. They are talking about the invaders, the Muslim invaders.
Uh-huh.
They don't realize, and I would like my Hindu brothers and sisters back in India to understand a fact that when you say Muslim rulers, don't call them Islamic rulers. They may have followed the faith of Islam, but they were just simple Muslim rulers.
Yeah.
Adolf Hitler cannot be called a Christian dictator.
But he was Christian.
He was a Christian, of course.
But obviously he wasn't following the example of
Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, or any of the prophets. Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, see,
we don't judge Christianity by Hitler.
The reason is very simple. See, if we are calling him Christian because he said, I am a Christian.
Yeah.
But the standard of judging a Christian would always be the teachings of Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him. Mm-hmm. So if anybody from the Jewish community is committing genocide of any other community in the world, any place in the world, and then he says, I'm a Jew and doing it for Judaism.
Yeah, we don't.
So we absolutely.
We don't.
We will call him a Jew. We will call him a Jew because he is saying, I'm a Jew.
We don't judge Netanyahu or Judaism by Netanyahu.
Absolutely. Now. Because we are going to judge through the teachings of Moses, peace be upon him. Mm-hmm. So in the same manner, when these people, they speak this rubbish, they need to understand that if Muslim rulers came and they invaded India, they destroyed temples. Destroying of temples didn't happen only by the Muslims. There are so many Buddhists in India who have filed hundreds of cases in the courts of India saying that the Buddhist monasteries were demolished and Hindu temples constructed by Hindu kings.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can, even to the place of Ayodhya where Babri Masjid stood there, even there is a claim by a Buddhist group saying that there was a Buddhist monastery there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to understand that there is a historian. He's right now in America. He's very popular here by the name Richard Eaton or Richard Eaton.
Mm-hmm.
He's very popular on the YouTube or Google. If you Google him, Richard Eaton. He has written several books. One of his very popular book is India Before 1800.
Mm-hmm.
He has done extensive research in that book. And Richard Eaton, he says that there were Hindu kings on both sides fighting each other. And whichever king conquered the territory of the other king, then the first thing he would do is he would demolish the prime deity worshipped in the temple by the other side Hindu king.
This is a Hindu against Hindus now.
And what is he trying to show is the culture in India was every king associated himself with a certain deity.
Yes.
And that deity he showed to the people is giving him the power.
Yes.
So the other king, when he attacks, he demolishes that temple of that deity.
He puts his god up there.
And sets up his god.
We call these fake gods because there's only one god.
Absolutely. Because even Hinduism doesn't agree. Yajurveda exactly. Chapter 32 verse number 3 clearly says, Natasya Pratima Asti, of him there is no image. So worshipping any god in the form of image is against the Vedas.
And what's the Vedas for people that don't know?
Sorry?
What's the Vedas for people that don't understand? What's the Vedas?
Vedas are basically the prime Hindu scriptures.
The Bible for the Hindus?
It's absolutely the Bible for the Hindus, in other words. There are primarily four Vedas. When they were written, who wrote it? No Hindu on the face of the earth can ever come up with an evidence about it,
okay,
except a claim.
But that is the guiding source for the religion.
No, see, the point is, I can say it's a guiding force when it's in the hands of the common masses. See, according to the Ministry of Home Affairs of India, 28 September 2021, a report was published. And the report said, in India, people who can speak Sanskrit language are only 25,000 out of 1.2 billion plus.
Wow, it's a dead language now.
So, but the point is, Vedas were written in Sanskrit. So, yeah. When you meet any Hindu scholar, in which Sanskrit? So, they say Sanskrit, when were Vedas written? So, millions of years ago.
This is a important point. So, people now, it's in, just like when the when you had the different versions in the Bible, it was with the church, right? And people now comparing it, same over here.
Eddie,
average person can't get a hold of it.
Eddie, at least for the Bible, at least at one given point of time,
yeah,
there were tablets.
Yes.
Right? There were, the Quran is confirming there was a scripture given to Jesus, may peace be upon him. Surah Al-Imran, Surah number 3, ayat number 1 to 3. Scripture given to Moses. Now, look at the beauty about what they speak about Vedas. They say millions of years ago, seven rishis, the Sapta rishis, they received a revelation. So who were those rishis? Nobody knows, except a prime name, Vishwamitra.
Mm-hmm.
Then millions of years, it was orally transmitted to others. Now imagine, millions of years it's being transmitted and the language changes. See, the word gay, in the late 19th century, it meant
happy, yeah.
Happiness.
Yes.
But today, if you meet anybody, he will never know that it meant that. The word has changed drastically, right?
Yeah.
So now you see, the Vedic Sanskrit is a calcified, is a enigmatic, it's a very puzzling and a dead language completely. Not readable, inscrutable for the common masses. And for the learned scholars of Hinduism, it is a complete mystery that keeps on adding to the mysteries that they were trying to explore.
Wow.
So it's a dead language, absolutely.
But you have this passage that you quoted that it says, what God is now, like no other, no images.
Whatever they have composed in the Vedas, which they say it happened about 1500 years ago again.
Mm-hmm.
So even that Sanskrit doesn't exist. The existing Sanskrit in India has a huge number of Persian words in it.
Mm.
It's a huge number of Persian words that are included in the Sanskrit. And how many people know this Sanskrit? 0.002% of Indian population knows it.
Wow.
According to the statistics of Ministry of Home Affairs.
You really appreciate the Quran now when you look into
that's what I was trying to say. This is the only book on the face of the earth, the Quran. This is the only book on the face of the earth that has an Arabic language which is read hundreds of times, again and again. You see, millions of people who don't understand a single word still recite it, read it. Show me any other book which you don't understand at all and you're still reading and memorizing it completely.
Yeah.
Then there are Arabs. So this is the only book that has held back Arabic language which was spoken 1,500 years. 1,500 years back an Arabic was spoken. Same Arabic is spoken still today. And the common children, the adults, they understand the words used in the Quran.
Yeah. Tell us now. So we also, so we're getting a better understanding. So this person now, this God Saad, this individual, he is, seems like he's stoking and trying to create problems. He's trying to spoke up some flames between against Muslims and bringing up some history there that you've obviously debunked. And he can actually bring up some history that's proven that he probably doesn't want to offend his audience, the Christians, but you have people who were, how many in the millions, persecuted, like the Crusades, the Inquisitions. This is all historically documented, right?
Absolutely.
And then it goes back to what you were saying, that his ancestors, if he's Jewish, like he says he is, that they were protected and saved by the Muslims.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, if he checks his lineage and see, you know, where they were at what time.
Absolutely.
He actually owes a debt, some gratitude to the Muslim world, Islam, as David Warrenstein had said, as a Jewish professor, that Islam saved the Jewry. It saved the Jewish people.
Absolutely. You see, Eddie, it's very clear. I mean, no Jew, no learned Jew, or a very fair Jew will ever deny this fact. See, 70 Christian era Titus of Rome, he demolished the Solomon's temple and the diaspora of the Jews happened.
Mm-hmm.
So Roman king, does it means it's a European power? In 70 Christian era, Rome is Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So Europeans, they demolished the Solomon's temple.
Yeah.
And the Jews were pushed and there was a diaspora. They were pushed into Europe. 70 Christian era till 634 Christian era, when Umar ibn Khattab captured or conquered Baitul Muqaddas, the Jews were never allowed entry there.
They weren't allowed to come back into Jerusalem.
Absolutely. They were never allowed.
They were banned.
They were totally banned.
Yeah.
There are documents that were exchanged between the father of the Church of Jerusalem,
yes,
and Umar ibn Khattab, preserved documents, letters, where the...
Sophronius, was it?
Sophronius, absolutely. Yes. Sophronius is requesting Caliph Umar, because Caliph Umar wanted to bring back the Jews and let them stay in Jerusalem. So he says, "Oh Caliph, don't let them stay back here. Okay, it's fine if you want to get them back here. Let them come back, but let them just come do their worship at the Wailing Wall and then return away."
Mm-hmm.
But Umar radiallahu anhu insisted, and it historically it is recorded. Once they were kicked out in 70 Christian era from that place, it was Umar ibn Khattab who brought them back into that place.
Wow.
In 634 Christian era. And he said, "No, this is not fair, because Jerusalem is a place that is revered by the Jews, the Christians and the Muslims. So the entry happens by the caliph of Muslim community, right? And then the Jews start to live there. And then the Jews and the Christians live peacefully there till the Crusades begin."
So historically, Muslims have known and shown to live in peace with Jews and Christians. Absolutely. We want to live in peace.
Absolutely.
But when you got hate provocateurs like this stirring up hate, this is what causes division, and this is what causes war. Absolutely. And hatred, and this is that it stems from that. Now you have this fear of the unknown, and you think, "Oh, this is the boogeyman is being created. Muslims coming to get you," and then you get these radicals like this guy, like, "We open up. Islam is a cancer. This, that, and the other."
Yes.
And then what happens? Then you go to war, and then you look at them as animals. And what's happening, like in Israel right now, with the
Absolutely.
With the Christians and Muslims there.
Yes.
And it starts with people like this.
Absolutely, absolutely.
This is how it starts. These shark-tongued hypocrites.
Absolutely. They are hypocrites. And if you have observed, see, as long as America and the Europe was in a very good terms with the Muslim world, you would never find anybody doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the political wind changed. Political requirements and the needs changed. And now you see these frogs popping up from everywhere against Islam. And tomorrow, suppose again Europe and America befriend the Muslims, you will find them again back into their holes.
What's that statistic? In 1979, was it Times Magazine did a article report?
Yeah. The 16th April 1979, 60,000 books were written against Islam.
60,000 books written against Islam.
This between 1800 to 1950.
From 1800 to 1950.
Which would mean one book printed per day.
Yeah. I was talking to a well-known conservative Christian not too long ago, and he was like, "I was taught to hate." He was asking sincere questions, and he was like, "I was taught to hate Islam." And this is a mover and shaker in the United States. So this is somebody who people look up to. He don't know nothing about Islam, but he was talking negative about Islam. He's probably been affected by one of these books that someone read, and now they push this stuff on the internet and the media out there. Instead of sitting with Muslims, come sit with us.
It's very simple, Eddie.
Talk
on the
with
other
us,
side, if
not
you
about
look,
us.
The other side of the coin, see, Eddie, 60,000 books they printed.
Yeah.
Anti-Islamic books. So for the common masses, these were the books which they could lay hand on to understand Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So as a whole, the Muslim community failed to pass this message.
Yeah.
That's the major most reason, right?
Yeah.
We were sent to pass this message to them.
Yeah.
So that those books don't affect their minds.
Exactly.
So we utterly failed. And now when the Muslims are in America, they are in greater number than the Hindus in America.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, the Hindus have organized themselves so unitedly well that they have a vice president. They had a running candidate for the presidential election in the USA. And what are the Muslims doing here? The same thing is happening that happens in the regions, in the eastern sides or other places, where one group is against the other group. The Muslims are divided as Indian Muslims, Pakistani Muslims, Syrian Muslims, yeah, Saudi Muslims. So all divisions, no masjid is in connection with other masjid. Nobody is bothered to come together, to sit together, to understand the needs of the Muslims in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
And then when any fringe group does anything wrong, it's going to affect the entire Muslim community in the USA.
Absolutely.
And we need to take a lesson from the Hindus here. The way they have united themselves. See, Muslims are very happy. Oh, by 2050, we will have a Muslim president. So they are waiting for 2050 to come.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no groundwork they are doing to unite ourselves, push ourselves into academic side, push ourselves to make the society feel that we are a very important part of the society.
Mm-hmm. Tell me this. Let's get into the Barbary Masjid.
If Congress was really truthful, Barbary Masjid would have been demolished. They took a decision, we don't have to stand the truth, because if you are too harsh, we may lose the vote bank. That's it.
So this has been an issue where now the masjid there, from what we know, was destroyed some years back.
Yeah.
And it was on the claim that there was a Hindu god who was born there.
Yes.
A Hindu deity that was born there.
Yes.
Then there was a ruling by the Supreme Court that there was no such evidence for that. But then they still recently took example from Israel, and who's stealing, and they stole the masjid also.
Yeah.
They copied their friends.
Absolutely.
So they stole the masjid.
Absolutely, absolutely.
They stole the land.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is no second thought. As a Muslim, I have deep hurt with whatever has happened. And the time it happened was, that was the time when we were just in our college. So we are just growing up as Muslims there, living in India. And one very important thing I would like to make you, bring to your notice, Eddie. In fact, you know Abdul Hakim Quick from Canada?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the historian, yes.
Absolutely. Back in 2019, when I visited Canada, I had an opportunity to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
So when I met him, I was just discussing, and because he has a history background, he told me something very surprising for me. He said, late 1980s, he had gone to Spain, and he was at Qurtuba Masjid,
mm-hmm.
the very popular masjid of Spain, and very beautiful architecture of that masjid. And there he met with a Hindu group visiting the masjid. And he was surprised, why are these people visiting this place? And then when he discussed with them, he said, I realized at that time that Hindus as a group, a particular group of Hindus, backed by a certain ideology, they are going to places in the world where the Muslims lost their rule. And there was a genocide of the Muslims committed at that place. And studying those places there. And learning how the genocide happened. What were the techniques of the genocide?
Wow.
And he says this was back in late 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, Babri Masjid was demolished in 1992 December, 6th December 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And another very important aspect to understand, I don't know how the political...
So this was before 1992, this was a mosque, a place of worship. That
for
was
630
years, people are worshipping in there.
Yeah, no, it was stopped because there was some issue that happened, actually.
When was it stopped?
It was stopped somewhere after 1948.
Okay, but before that,
yeah,
Muslims were worshipping
there. Worshipping there, absolutely.
So they came and they put a pause on that.
See, I feel so sad for the Hindu brothers and sisters that this notion that Ram was born over there as a recorded evidence was for the first time in the history produced by Montgomery Maxwell, a Christian from Britain, who was in India, and he wrote this down, that a mandir was demolished and a masjid was built over it. This was the first written evidence in 1838. Before 1838, mm-hmm. you do not find any recorded dispute between Hindus and Muslims with that claim, one thing. There are two, three very important aspects that as Muslims and as our innocent and the good Hindu brothers and sisters need to understand from Indian subcontinent. See, there are two people who are very popularly quoted as authors of Ramayana. One is Valmiki. He is the most popular, who is highlighted there, mm-hmm. back in India, as an author of the Ramayana. Now, Valmiki in his entire Ramayana never mentions that as the birthplace for Rama.
Mm-hmm.
The main person who for the first time is supposed to have composed Ramayana, right? Then the second person, now when did he do it? So they say he did it in Treta Yuga. He was a contemporary of Ram. But first time his sayings of Ramayana were composed in 200 BC, 200 years before Christ. Fine. There is another person who writes Charitmanas, which is again a part of Ramayana, and this is very popular in India, by the name Tulsidas. He lived in 1517, 16th century, and he writes Ramayana.
Ramayana, you're talking about, this is the deity.
About the deity he writes, yeah. The same deity. Mm-hmm. This is something very important, Eddie.
Yeah.
He is in 1517. Babri Masjid is constructed in 1527.
Mm-hmm.
This person is writing Ramayana. He is the second most popular author of Ramayana. Presently, the most propagated author of Ramayana.
Yes.
He is in the same period when Babri Masjid is constructed.
And he's not saying anything.
And he is not writing about the birthplace of Rama to be that place.
About this God. See, that's why you need Islam, because Kul Hu Allahu Ahad.
Absolutely.
Say God is
he
one,
is the Allah, absolute. The only one, absolutely.
The eternal, he doesn't become born, he doesn't
absolutely.
Sleep. So when you start attributing human qualities to the one up above,
absolutely.
The creator of heavens and earth, now you got this kind of confusion. This chaos. And,
and the
whatnot.
Other thing is, see,
but when you know God is not like a human being.
Absolutely, absolutely.
He's not like me and you that
absolutely.
He becomes born.
See, even this is a question we need to ask our Hindu brothers. Did Rama ever say in the entire episode of Ramayana that I am God and worship me? No, he never said that.
Yeah, never.
And first of all, as a Muslim, I don't believe that he ever existed. Mm-hmm. He is supposed to be a mythological figure by a lot of educated people worldwide. When did it happen? So they say it happened in Treta Yuga. What is this Treta Yuga? So Hindus divided the entire date of the earth into four epochs. The Kreta Yuga, the Treta Yuga, the Dwapara Yuga, and the Kali Yuga.
What does that mean?
There are four
periods.
So Treta Yuga, when Ramayana happened, is about 864,000 years before Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him.
How are you going to prove that now? How are you going to, where are you going to get this from?
That's what, 864,000
years. 864,000
years. And that too,
leaves a lot of room for people making stuff up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
864,000 years back, it happens. And first time that story is composed, according to them, in 200 BC. And even that story doesn't mention, then there are 300 different versions.
So compare that, contrast that for people to understand. When we say it was a statement from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, the most documented man in history.
Absolutely.
So if we say he said, and we quote, let's say, Bukhari or Muslim,
yes.
authentic, now we have a chain of narrators, right?
Yes.
So it goes from A, which is him,
yes.
to B, C, no, or it goes from the person narrating to A, B, C, and then the Prophet Muhammad. Can we
absolutely.
Identify it like that?
Absolutely.
So let's say, how many people typically are there before him? How many?
From Bukhari?
You no, mean? Yeah. So you have, how many people in a chain usually, typically?
No, it depends, because sometimes if he has spoken in the midst of 34 people, so all the 34 people can report the same thing.
But every person you can scrutinize, when they were born, did they have a good memory, were they honest? If they're dishonest, we don't narrate
absolutely.
From them.
Absolutely. And even, other than that, what about this book?
What about the Quran?
This is the only book that is completely memorized on the face of the earth.
Completely memorized, authenticated, like no other book.
Yes. So if the person reciting without looking into it makes a mistake, there are millions standing behind to correct him.
See, when I first, when I started looking at all the different religions and looking, you have so much folklore, you have ancestor worship, you have all of these strange, weird things that are out there, you know, and it's like no proof. There's no evidence.
Absolutely.
There's no solid evidence.
It is something very, I don't know whether to call it funny or something very interesting. You know, Ravana is the villain character of the story of Ramayana.
Mm-hmm.
Ravana. He is the one who was killed by Rama, finally, to get back his wife Sita.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to India, Rajasthan is a BJP-ruled state. Madhya Pradesh is a BJP-ruled state. Uttar Pradesh is a BJP-ruled state. Maharashtra is a BJP-ruled state. And you have Karnataka and another state, Himachal Pradesh. All these states have a temple of Ravana where Ravana is worshipped.
Who is this now?
The person who kidnapped the wife of Rama.
So these are two deities now.
Two. From the main Ramayana perspective, from the majority of Hindu perspective, he's a villain.
Oh, he's the villain. Okay.
He's a villain. But then back in India, we have temple worshipping him.
Worshipping him now. So
absolutely.
Everybody gets turned into a god. This is why
this is one thing. Then another very interesting thing is Ramayana was written by some Buddhists also.
Yeah.
So the Jataka Buddhists, when you read the Ramayana by the Jataka Buddhists, according to them, Ram and Sita are not husband and wife. They are brothers and sisters.
Mm. Most people don't know about this. So Jesus was against this. Moses was against
Absolutely.
This. Abraham was against this. All the prophets of God were against
idol worship.
Idol worship, paganism, all of these things.
And even the Vedas are against idol worship.
And even this, what you talked about earlier, the Vedas all against this. And the last and final message sent to mankind, Paramahamsa.
And you know, when you read Bhagavad Gita, which now the RSS and the BJP is strongly promoting back in India, Prime Minister Modi, wherever he goes, he gifts Bhagavad Gita to the eminent personalities around the world, the presidents and all these people. You read Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, verse number 20 and 21. Krishna, the prime deity there, or the prime figure in Bhagavad Gita, he says, the people of less intellect, they worship false gods, fake gods.
Mm-hmm.
They shall worship only one God.
Yes. It seems like you have so many intelligent people developing softwares and, you know, billionaires. But when it comes down to God and everything, they turn their brain off and they're just like in a hum mode. Hum. And anything, this is like spiritual. This is how you get close to God.
Exactly. You see, the simple reason is they are more into bodily pleasures of the life.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, any religious belief where you need to make a research will prevent them from the lusts.
Yeah.
So they don't want to go into depth of this. They're enjoying it perfectly well now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the system has been developed such by the rascals in the rule that they don't want the masses to know the truth always.
Yeah. That's why when people look into Islam and they see the simplicity, the chain, the continuous chain of revelation that came, the chronological order, all the messengers came with the same message.
I missed one point that I wanted to tell you about Babri Masjid. It was demolished in December 6, 1992.
Yeah.
There was something very interesting happened in 1992, January the 1st.
What happened?
The same year, 1st January 1992, for the first time after independence in India,
mm-hmm.
officially Israeli embassy was opened.
Where? In
India.
In India. After the...
1 January 1992.
After the demolition of...
No.
When?
The same year.
The same year.
The 1st January.
When the... happened?
1st January
when
1992.
When the Barbary Mosque was demolished.
The same year in December
demolished,
it happened.
Demolished. Yeah? Wow.
January 1,
1992.
Uh-huh. The Israeli embassy is established in India.
Yeah.
6th December 1992. 12 months later.
Yeah.
12 months and precisely 6
They demolished
days later,
the masjid?
The masjid is
what
demolished.
What do you think? There's some connection there?
Allah knows.
Yeah.
Allah knows best.
Mm.
So, but this happened. Another part is, see, let me be very fair also. The issue of Babri Masjid, it happened when BJP was not in rule.
Yeah.
It was all the way Congress.
Mm-hmm.
70 years rule of Congress. The Prime Minister is a Congress Prime Minister. When the idols were instilled by one fellow called Abhiram, a Hindu fascist, he broke the gate of Babri Masjid, went inside to instill idols in Babri Masjid.
Mm-hmm.
And then Congress didn't react much to it. Instead of finishing off the issue, they locked the masjid.
Yeah.
And then when Rajiv Gandhi, around 1980s, he broke the lock of the masjid and made a puja to be done inside.
What's a puja?
The ritual way of worshipping of the idols that the Hindus do.
Is that where they bring in the rats and stuff? Have you seen the rats?
Yeah.
What's with that?
I mean, see, as it is popularly believed, Hindus believe in a lot of gods, right?
Yeah.
Like they say Vishnu had incarnations. So one of his incarnation is the pig.
Mm-hmm.
One of his incarnation is the fish.
Now who's that? Vishnu?
Vishnu is supposed to be a principal deity.
Yes, Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Yes.
Vishnu is a Sanskrit word which translated into Arabic, it could mean Rabb, the cherisher and sustainer.
So they made God into now an animal.
That attribute became a god for them now.
Wow.
And then this Vishnu, the seventh incarnate is Rama, according to them.
Yeah.
What they did when Buddhism was, many people don't know.
Now I want people
from
to know. 3 BC
to...
I want people to, before you continue, because we're talking about Hindu, you're actually many would consider you not only a scholar of the Bible, but also a scholar of what we have of the Vishnu of comparative religion in Sarah. You've been studying Hinduism for a long time, for years, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so just I want to make that point.
No, thank you so much, Eddie. Eddie, 3 BC till about 4th Christian era, Buddhism was the majority religion in India.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly anybody speaks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Hindus need to understand why Gautama Buddha, born in a Hindu family, left Hinduism.
Who left Hinduism?
Gautama Buddha. Gautama Buddha was born in a Hindu family. The Buddhists.
Yes.
Gautama Buddha.
Gautama Buddha, right?
Yeah.
He left. He was born in a Hindu.
He was born in a Hindu family.
Yeah.
And he left Hinduism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason to leave Hinduism is he wanted peace.
What do you think about the theory that he was actually one? He possibly could have been a prophet of God. That he was calling to worship God,
honestly,
but then people twisted his teaching.
I honestly
teaching.
Don't believe that, Eddie. Yeah. The reason is very simple. Yeah. Surah Bani Israel, Surah number 17, ayat number 36.
Uh-huh.
Do not pursue that knowledge about which you are.
You just don't know. Yeah.
Allah and Muhammad never mentioned that. So I'm not going to say maybe also.
I had once some sheikh who was thinking he was into Buddhism and whatnot before, and he thought maybe he could have been a prophet of Allah.
Why to leave that scope? I mean, that scope, we don't even get from the remotest of sayings of Prophet Muhammad or any of his companions, right?
Yeah.
So now see, Gautama Buddha, he left Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Guru Nanak Ji.
Yeah.
Right? Sikhism. And Guru Nanak Ji is also born Hindu.
Uh-huh.
And he leaves Hinduism.
Yeah.
Why did they leave Hinduism? It was such a peaceful religion.
What about these rats?
Oh, see, elephant, rat, pig, fish, and the cow.
Every human being, and I ask every human being to look deep down inside where we have this fitrah, this innate disposition, right? When the truth comes to you, and that's why when they look into Islam, they really look at sincerely, it resonates with their innate nature, the worship of the absolute one God, the pure monotheism.
Absolutely.
And it's something that draws you in. But how do you get drawn into the worship of animals, rats and pigs and all this stuff? That's your fitrah, your innate nature is like...
See, this is what Allah said, Eddie. Summun bukmun umyun fahum la yarjiun. We have sealed their hearing, their sight and their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
They will not return. So if Allah seals it, then you will do anything. See, if people have started to worship Satan.
So, yeah, people are starting to worship Satan nowadays, huh?
There are people who absolutely say that there is no God.
Mm-hmm. All this crazy, weird stuff, yes. It's getting crazy out there. A few more minutes. I just want to elaborate on this. The number of people renouncing, because India is growing, but you have... So many people announcing Indian citizenship. We can see
it's
this graph
here. It's a huge number,
here.
I think.
Yeah, this graph here. Why is that?
See, basically, if you check into this, I think that graph that you showed is from Statista.com website, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, that one is from...
Statista.com, right?
Statista.com,
yeah. I think I was just going through that study a few days back.
Yeah.
Between 2020 to 2022, it says 1.8 million Indians have denounced Indian citizenship.
Why?
The basic reason I personally feel is the political scenario there, the way a particular majoritarian form of rulership is coming up in India these days.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way hints are being given by Prime Minister Modi ji, where he says in the Lok Sabha that once we win the 2024 election, there are going to be drastic things that will come in India, which never happened in the last 1,000 years.
I've heard people from India tell me that they're trying to possibly do a genocide against Muslims there. Is that true?
I mean, if you personally ask me, we are on the verge of that situation. It very strongly appears. Whether it happens or not, Allah knows the best.
Mm-hmm.
But from the situations and you showed me a video of that fellow. There are so many videos of the same fellow, that Yati.
Yeah, if you got people like this, there's so many more.
No, there are so
guys.
Many videos. He clearly says kill them. I showed you one.
This guy.
Yeah. And this guy, Yogi Adityanath, who is the chief minister of Uttar Pradesh. There were videos about him circulating long back in India, where he said that the Muslim women shall be pulled out of their graves and raped.
Who said that?
This person, Yogi Adityanath.
The same guy?
No, not the same guy.
Another?
No, he's very cheap compared to Yogi Adityanath.
So Yogi is a bigger now
he
player.
Is the premier of one of the prime states of India.
Mm-hmm. Disgusting.
And you showed one paper, I saw when you were holding it.
Mm-hmm.
He says we shall actually take 5 more masjids from the Muslim and build temples there.
Yeah.
But we are asking them to give only 3.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's giving that statement being the chief minister of his state.
Yeah.
So what kind of a psychology is he creating in the minds of the Muslim community? It's a kind of a fear psychosis, a paranoia that is getting created. And Muslims in India are totally void, vacuum completely for leadership.
Mm-hmm.
We may have a lot of politicians, one very popular politician, but we don't have leaders at all in the Muslim community.
What's this Davos World Economic Forum Global Risk Report 2024 ranks India as a number one in propagation of disinformation and misinformation. India transformed into a breeding ground for fake news under this BJP. Ranks number one.
See, it's put it this way. Back in India, put it this way. Back in India, it is like anything that goes against Prime Minister Narendra Modi is a fake news back in India.
Yeah.
And all the top social media platforms, they immediately jump to defend him. And whatever is being promoted in favor of the ruling party and everything, the entire world sees it as fake media, fake news. You understand my point?
Mm-hmm.
The entire world, what the world sees as fake news based on investigative resources, India puts it as main news.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the mainstream channels are sold out to the ruling party.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it as the main news. Freedom of press is gone. Freedom of speech is gone. People in the religious field, including me, we feel scared to speak anything academically truthful also.
In India?
Absolutely. We feel suffocated now there.
What happens if people are scared? They'll get what, locked up? They'll get...
Absolutely. They will be booked in false cases, and this has happened to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But there is no evidence, and the system, the court system there is such that the ruling government knows it very well. If somebody is booked into a case of anti-Hindu or anti-national kind of case, then 6 to 8 years he will be running in the court for the bail and all that stuff. And by the time the case ends, it will be 10 years, 12 years, maybe 30 years. So that's the end of the person there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do it to one or two popular people there, then the whole community gets demoralized after that.
Wow. Well, so I think we covered a lot. So we started off with this top Hindu priest, Yati, calling for Hindus to take over Mecca. And you...
He's just one of them.
Yes.
There are many like him now.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's still hope at the end of the day. If we have a Hindu or anybody else, could be a Christian watching, we really ask them to read this book. Read
absolutely.
The Quran
absolutely.
For yourself.
Absolutely.
Don't let nobody program you. Look for yourself
absolutely.
And see what it promotes, what it teaches.
Absolutely.
Don't quote verses out of context.
Yes.
Put it in its context and see that at the end of the day, this is a call to the pure monotheism,
absolutely.
Absolute monotheism. Worship
absolutely.
The creator, not the creation.
Absolutely.
Living a morally upright life.
Absolutely.
Calls you to the fitra, the innate way that a human being is supposed to
absolutely.
Live, to goodness.
You see, there is a direct ayat
and
in
peace.
The Quran in Surah Mumtahina.
And peace with your neighbors.
That's what I'm saying, Eddie. There is an ayat in Surah Mumtahina where Allah says, Allah does not prevent you to live in peace and respectfully with the non-Muslims. So do not fight you for your religion.
That's it. Chapter 60, verse 8, right? God Almighty, the Creator, does not forbid you from
living in peace.
Living in peace, acting kindly and justly with those who do not oppress
fight
you,
you,
fight you
against
you.
They are against you for your religion.
And that's common sense.
Yes.
That's common sense. That makes so that trumps... Where any other verses where they're talking about, you know, kill them wherever you find them and all these other stuff, they quote out of that's in war, that's in battle.
Yes.
But here, this verse.
No, you see, the number of ayat in the Quran related to fighting are much far lesser than the verses in Bhagavad Gita about killing the enemies.
What's Bhagavad Gita for people who don't know?
Gita is the most popular religious book presently in India read by the Hindus.
Yeah.
They say you want to take inspiration in life. Take it from Gita.
What about the Vedas, Gitas? Those are the...
See, this subject is so interesting, Eddie. It will require a lot more. Yeah, a time to understand it. Vedas, they say, are revealed scripture.
Yeah.
Bhagavad Gita, again, like Ramayana, this is from an epic, longest epic in the world.
Yeah.
So anybody can win a quiz. Mahabharata is the longest epic in the world with about 100,000 shlokas in it, which would be 200,000 independent statements.
Yeah.
Supposed to have been written by Vedvyasa. Nobody exactly knows, but whether he wrote or not.
And what's the statement that you were saying?
I was saying that
there's more that is in there.
Much more. And Krishna directly says in Bhagavad Gita, when you read chapter number 2 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in chapter number 2 of Bhagavad Gita, he is educating the warriors from the Hindu religion, Kshatriyas, especially Arjun, the character whom Krishna is giving a discourse to. He says, remember, O Kshatriyas, there are 4 prime castes in Hinduism. The Brahmins, they are supposed to do all the religious teachings and preachings and explanation of religious scriptures. The Kshatriyas are the warriors. Then you have the Vaishyas, the farmers, and the Shudras, the lower class that is supposed only to serve the 3 upper class. So now Kshatriyas, Krishna is saying, imagine this statement. O Kshatriyas, you are fortunate enough because you get opportunity again and again to fight in the cause of religion. And I tell you, there is nothing better for you than to fight in the cause of religion. If you win, you are victorious and you get the booty. And if you die, you are a martyr.
This is in the Hindu scripture.
This is what he's saying.
Yeah. So it looks like a lot of these religions, Islam has been the one that's been really scrutinized.
Yes.
But you have people who are looking at it, and you have people who went into it to scrutinize it. They ended up becoming Muslim. They're seeing past the lies, the programming.
Yes.
And there's others who have wickedness in their hearts, and they try to twist the verses and play.
I mean, one thing I think we shall not miss.
But here's the thing, before I lose my point, is that these religions, like the others, like this one, people haven't really looked in to see what they're promoting. What's the text say, like they did the Quran? Let's unfold, let's unpackage like you did the Quran.
But we hardly find them, Eddie.
They promote them. They're like kind of mystical.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's like something that is peaceful, and it's just about the self and development and all these fancy terms that are used. But when you really get deeper, you're talking about worshiping different demigods, semi-gods.
Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned the private part in one of the gods that they want to attack Mecca for because in the Kaaba, all this rats and animals and worship. And you can go to jail for eating a steak sandwich. People have been lynched for eating a cow.
Eating the cow. And you'll be surprised if I tell you, 70% of Indians are non-vegetarian.
Can you? 70%
Indians are non-vegetarians.
Wow.
And this is a report published in the Times of India.
Yeah.
21 July 2022 or 23 somewhere.
Yes.
70%. And you know, 45% Hindus are non-vegetarian.
Mm.
And the biggest exporter of cow meat is Al Kabir, the name of the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner is a Hindu of Gujarat.
Wow. Talk about hypocrisy.
You know what happened recently?
Yeah.
When the Houthis, they hijacked the ship.
Yeah.
In that water. And they left it. What was there in it? All cows belonging to India. India was exporting the cows.
But they'll lock up Muslims for eating beef.
Absolutely.
This is a big hip. Look at this.
And then when you go to Goa, Goa is a place of tourism, of nudity and all this. And you have a lot of Israeli tourists, maximum Israeli tourists.
Yeah.
They visit Goa. So in that state of Goa, you have BJP rule.
Yes.
And in Goa, eating cow is permissible. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Wow, this is... So people can go online to watch some of your debates and also some of your dialogues and also to these topics. You go in more in-depth into Hinduism and also the Bible and whatnot. President of IREF, Imran.
Yeah. I just want to make one small point.
Yes.
We shall be very clear, Eddie.
Yes, please.
Hinduism is different from Hindutva. Now, these people, the radicals, the fascist RSS and their allies, they are promoting radical Hindutva.
Mm.
And what is Hindutva? According to their father, Savarkar, he said Hindutva is not religion. It's not Hinduism. He's very clear in it. Hindutva is not Hinduism. It is Hinduness in us.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Hinduness? Hinduness is adopting all the rituals and culture that we had. So when he says that, he's actually talking about Gupta period. The Gupta dynasty in India.
Yeah.
It was a Brahminical dynasty that ruled between 3rd century to 4th century. So everything that Gupta period, it is this period. that you had the promotion of all the temples in India and every kind of worship that you see in India today. It is from this period. Mm-hmm. All serials and movies that the Hindus are watching today, they took it from Bhagavata Purana. Mm-hmm. Bhagavata Purana is a Purana, which is secondary in importance to the Vedas. And Puranas were all promoted by the Gupta dynasty. There are about 36 Puranas, 18 are Mahapuranas and 18 are Upapuranas. The great Puranas are the or the major and minor Puranas. Amongst the major Puranas, there is one Bhagavata Purana. So all these serials and everything that you see in Hindi, the dramas and everything where idols are worshipped, have been developed from the Purana, which is against the revealed scripture, the Vedas. And the best part is when you read the Mahapurana, Bhavishya Purana,
yeah.
Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioned by name there.
Yeah, Prophet Muhammad is in there. You talk about
including
this.
Including Vedas.
Even in what we have now of this.
Vedas for every Hindu is the top in
you
line.
You have the last and final message sent to mankind mentioned in, it's a prophecy.
It's in Atharvaved.
Yeah.
Book number 20, hymn number 127. It's called the Kuntap Sukta.
Yes, wow.
Verse number 1 to 13, it says, a camel riding rishi.
Uh-huh.
So for Hindu Brahmins, it is not permissible to ride a camel.
Mm-hmm.
When you read Manu Smriti, the Manu Smriti categorically says that a Hindu cannot ride a camel.
Yes.
So who will be that? Rishi means a scholar, a teacher. So camel riding rishi. We know Khaswa was the name of the camel of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Yeah, his camel's mentioned in there, the name?
No, not the name.
Yeah.
But it's a prophecy.
Yes.
The prophecy is saying he will be a camel riding rishi.
Does it say his particular
his
location?
His name is also mentioned, but.
His name, Prophet Muhammad's name is mentioned?
In Bhavishya Purana, Adhyatri, Parvatri, Khandatri, yes. Shloka number 10 to 27, when you read it says, first is 3 to 5, it says, Muhammad will come, O Raja Bhoj. Raja Bhoj was a dynasty of Raja. You don't need to go to his place. His followers will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will receive him with great honor. And then 10 to 27, the prophecy says, his followers will not grow a tail on their head of the hair, the shindi. They will grow a beard.
Wow.
They will be meat eaters. They will not purify themselves with herbs and shrubs. They will fight in the way of God to purify. And they will call the people to worship. And it's all about Muslims.
Wow, it doesn't take too much to put those pieces together to figure out.
The name is there, Muhammad. Yeah.
His name is there. What else you want?
Yes.
So,
He's called Narashinsa, Narashansa.
Yeah.
You know, Narashansa is a Sanskrit combination of two words.
Any Hindu who watches this, should it really entice him or motivate him to look into the life of Prophet Muhammad?
See, a direct translation of the name of Muhammad is there. Nara is a Sanskrit word which means man. Shansa means praise.
Mm-hmm.
The praised man. The name Muhammad, Arabic name Muhammad.
The praised one.
The praised one.
Yeah, that's what it means.
And it's not mentioned in one place, Eddie.
Several.
Narashansa will come is mentioned. Rig Veda is the top of all the Vedas.
When you tell Hindus this, what do they say?
Those who are honest and who have an academic approach, they really want to understand what's this.
Wow, that's deep.
Then you have these kind of ignorant people, they say the Mughals changed it.
Okay.
So we tell them.
So if that's changed, then how many other things are changed?
No.
If their claim.
No. If it is changed, then why do you keep the book with you still?
Why do you keep the book with you? Yeah.
So that's very.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Forward thing. But you see, when you read these Vedas, Narashansa, meaning Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is mentioned that he will come in Rig Veda book number 1, hymn number 13, verse number 3, Rig Veda book number 1, hymn number 18, verse number 9, Rig Veda book number 1, hymn number 106,
these
verse
are all
number
verses
4.
You're quoting that he's
Rig Veda
book Muhammad
number
1, prophesied
yes, 142,
in the Vedas.
Yes, Narashansa will come.
Wow.
Book number 2, hymn number 2, verse number 3, 552, 722, all these places is mentioned.
Deep.
Yajurveda is mentioned, chapter 20, verse number 37, chapter 20, verse number 57, chapter number 28, verse number 2, chapter 28, verse number 19, chapter 28, verse number 42, chapter 29, verse number 27, Narashansa will come.
That's a lot for people to process, and it's very simple. And then when you look at this, will save a lot of people from all this agony of having to rebel against your innate nature and worship animals. You can set yourself free and worship the one and only one God, the creator of the heavens
Eddie,
and earth.
Eddie, one last point, we are to conclude. Eddie, we really need to think about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have 57 Muslim countries on the face of the earth today. And we know One of them was a very important country for the Muslim world based on the holy places there, Makkah and Medina, and the way it's changing now, it's unbelievable. And the way the hope that the Muslims had with the Arabs, because a lot of non-Arab Muslims around the world, two-thirds of the Muslim population around the world, or more than two-thirds is non-Arab population, looking towards the Arab as the children of Prophet and his companions. But the things, the way they are going around there, and 57 Muslim countries, there is a big difference between certain Western countries and Muslim countries today. The Western countries, not openly, but definitely on a different level, supporting the promotion of the religion of Christianity or Judaism. But from 57 Muslim countries, you do not have a single one doing that, except that what they promote is a politically supportive ideology against other Muslim groups.
Mm.
But as Islam getting promoted in different places, we don't find... See, Arabs, they built many masajid around the world. They gave donations to build masajid. Absolutely, salute to them for that. But building a masjid doesn't become the reason to propagate the religion. We need people who will speak to the non-Muslim brothers and sisters. Educate them what Islam is, what Quran is. Who is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He is not our Rasul. He is your Rasul.
Mm-hmm. He's for the whole of mankind.
He's for whole of humanity. He's Rahmatul Lil Alameen.
Mercy to all of mankind.
He fought 27 wars, but killed only one with his sword.
Mm. This is historically documented.
Absolutely. Participated in 27, killed only one. In 27 wars, the number of enemies killed are hardly 300. So this we need to tell the people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is really deep. Thank you very much. Thank you very much Jazakallah for spending time with us and explaining a lot what's going on in India.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Wa alaikum wa barakatuh. And thank you guys. If you'd like a free copy of the Quran, visit thedeenshow.com. You can hit the chat box.
Eddie, I'm really sorry to interrupt you. I really wanted to tell this in the beginning, but then seeing that video, everything changed. I request my brothers and sisters everywhere in the world to contribute to Eddie's Tampas, the Dawa Center that he's constructing. I have personally visited it. I think it's one of the best places I've ever visited in the USA. And his understanding of Islam and the situation in the USA, he has been striving for decades altogether now to try to spread Islam in the right perspective. And then looking at the circumstances, we really need to support our brother Eddie for this, because he's coming up with a very beautiful Dawa Center. May Allah bless him for this, and may Allah bless our Muslim brothers and sisters who are supporting him. And I request my Muslim brothers and sisters worldwide, please come forward, because this is the need of the time. Alhamdulillah, we have been building masajid with millions of dollars, mashallah. We need a Dawa Center also. Your support is very important. Please come forward to support him for this, inshallah. His Dawa Center that is coming up in Tampa, in Florida, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. Thank you. And if you'd like a free copy of the Quran, visit thedeenshow.com. Ask your questions. You can call us also. If you have any questions about Islam, don't be shy. Visit us and subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you don't miss any upcoming exciting shows. Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.